Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just come in agreement with Beverly, Lord. More than that, we come in agreement with your word and the work that you did, this finished work that you did on the cross. You were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And by those stripes, that beating, that suffering that you took, Lord, that laid you open, we are healed. So, Father, right now we send your word to these people, these relatives of Beverly. Father, you see her broken heart, Lord. You touch her. Give her confidence and boldness in you, Lord, to speak the truth, which is that you paid the price. They're healed. Doesn't make any difference what those doctors say. I don't care what the doctors say. I care what you say, Lord. I'm going to believe what you say. I'm going to believe your report. And we stand with her on that right now in Jesus' name. They're healed. They're set free. They're whole. And more than that, they know you, Lord, in an intimate, powerful way, Lord. We send your word right now and say, be healed in the name of Jesus and receive that healing and walk in it. For the kingdom of God and the glory of God in Jesus' name, amen. Now that's a way to start a service. Father, we praise you. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we love you. We've come to worship you this morning, Lord. We want so to please you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, for the Holy Spirit that comes in power and authority. It causes your will and your plan to be known. It causes us not just to be sons, but heirs and joint heirs with you. Today, Father, we thank you again for this time, Lord. I offer myself to be your oracle this morning, Lord. Hide me behind the cross. I am insignificant except to do your will, Lord. We look to you, the author, the finisher of our faith. We lift up and magnify and glorify you. Give you all praise and all thanks and glory in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, minister to your people. I yield to you. Holy Spirit, you're in control. We invite you. We long to have you take us where God wants us to go today, in thought, word, and deed. In Jesus' name, and all who agree, say amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I enjoyed praise and worship this morning. Glory to God.
Well, in spite of the roadblocks, we all made it. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of us are real lucky because we live next door. Praise the Lord. You I'm talking about, Beverly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all can be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to ask a question this morning. And I don't want you to answer it out loud. I want you to consider it. Are you happy where you are in your life? Don't just answer that. You know, think about that. Consider that. Are you happy in where you are in your life? I struggled with a message for this morning. I mean, I had a lot of thoughts, but none of them came to fruition. I could have gone a million different ways. I just didn't have the peace of God. Thank the Lord. He's faithful. Amen. We'll just trust Him. We'll just look to Him. Again, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, one of the things we have to understand is it doesn't make any difference whether you stand on the pulpit or you stand as a lay minister or a person out there who is a minister of the kingdom. Maybe not by the office or the office of the calling, but as a minister of God because we're His people. God is the author and finisher of our faith. And whom He calls, He equips. I can't stress that enough. I don't want us to gloss over that or just lightly, you know, let that go. I want us to consider that whom He calls, He equips. And when I ask you this morning, are you called? Amen. Then that means you're anointed. Amen. Amen. Why? Because the anointed one dwells in you. Because you have that Spirit in you that raised up Jesus from the dead. Amen. And made Him alive. And now He's seated at the right hand of the Father, where, I want to remind you again, you and I are seated. And I want us to consider the fact, or consider whether or not we're really, really in where we're at right this moment in our lives, in our walk, both yesterday, meaning yesterday literally, and today, and where we think we're going to be tomorrow. If we're really, really trusting Him, if you really believe Jesus paid the full price, that nothing was left out, physical, spiritually, emotionally, financially. I would encourage you all to get the two CDs of the two Sundays that Stan was here and listen to those again. Those are some powerful things that were said in those CDs. And I'm not going to try to preach that this morning. God's given me something else. But I want us to consider this. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to look at some things in this chapter as the Holy Spirit was leading me this morning and guiding me, ordering my steps, if you will, for you and me. I'm not left out. It's for you. I think you all know who I am and what I'm about, and I don't just preach to you. I preach from what God is doing in my life, as well as what I know He wants to do and is willing to do in your life also, if you'll just let Him. If you'll just let Him and trust Him. I want you to consider this morning whether Jesus completely paid the price. And if you have and are walking in the fullness of what God has. Now, I'm not saying that you've arrived. That's not what I'm talking about. We still have the rest of the race to run. Amen? But I want you to consider where you are right now. And if there's places where you need to go to God and say, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. I have overlooked some things, I've omitted some things, or I haven't looked at things quite in the right way. Circumstances, situations, whatever it is in your life. Amen? Let's start with verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I believe that's twofold there. It's not only the cloud of witnesses that witness about the things of God, but also that have witnessed the power of God through yours and mine and other people's lives who are serving the Lord, who are Christians. We're surrounded by great clouds of witnesses. My question is, for me and for us, for the church, is what are they witnessing and what are they witnesses to? Are they witnesses to the full power and glory of God? Are they witnesses to the things of hope and still steeped in disbelief, unbelief, or cynicism? Are we really in our lives walking every day, not only those people out there, but ourselves, the brothers and sisters here, the family here that we love? Are we provoking one another to jealousy? Are our actions and our words and our deeds provoking one another to jealousy? Are they causing us to look and see that, hey, you know what? I'm on the right track, but I'm not where I want to be, and there's more. And I'm sorry that I'm not walking in some of the things that I know I should be. God's already done the work in our life, but for some reason we've regressed or digressed, and we're not right there where we should be. And that happens. That's why God says, don't let us, you know, grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall what? Reap, glean, receive, if we what? Don't faint. Amen? If we don't get weary and weak. Amen? Hallelujah. So here are all these witnesses, both in the church and out of the church, one another, and we're surrounded by them. Let us lay aside every weight, whatever it is that's burdening you down, whatever it is that's pulling you down, holding you down, causing you to be uncomfortable in your walk and where you are right now. You know, the thing is, in every one of our lives, God takes us as far as we will allow Him to take us. He's working in our lives, yes. But there are some places that we still kind of hold reserved, or we just don't trust Him fully. Can anybody besides me say amen? I want you to know that I know that I can trust Him, and you can trust Him. Amen? Did you hear me? Trust Him. That means over the reports of doctors, Beverly. Doctors are human beings. They're fallible. They're not perfect. They are imperfect, just like you and I. And they need God. And so what we want to do is we want to always... And you said the right thing this morning. You said you trusted God. God heard that from your lips to His ears. And He's standing on that. And because we prayed in agreement, God's doing for you. Praise God. We are in Hebrews chapter 12. We're just getting ready to start into verse 2. We're just finishing up on the last part of verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin, whether you want to call that disobedience or omission or commission, whatever you want to call it, which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now I want to again remind you that the observation here is not that we press towards. We run the race to run the whole race. We're looking for the prize. But in this race, everyone gets the prize who finishes the race. Amen? There's no first or second place. We all win. We're all winners. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author of our being, the author of our salvation, and the author of everything that pertains to life and godliness. And He's given us all those things because of His plan and the work that Jesus fulfilled that God sent Him to do. Amen? Of our faith. Finisher of our faith. Not only did He author it, but it will allow Him and we'll surrender to Him. He will finish it in us because we've trusted in Him and we've relied on Him and we've let Him do in us and we were willing to say no matter what. Like the song says, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. And the reason He did it is for the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now keep your finger right there and remember that verse. It's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He has sat down at the right hand of God, the right hand of the throne of God. Now real quickly, you don't have to turn there, but you can if you want to. Most of you know this. I want to read to you. I was only going to read verse 5, but somehow I feel like I'm impressed to read verses 1 through 5 in Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a dry root out of dry ground, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. There's no beauty in him. And when we see him, just what I just said there, there's no beauty, that we should desire him. He is. You notice it doesn't say he was, it says he is despised and rejected. That's still going on today. Men and women are still rejecting him, still have their own agendas, still want to walk their way, but that expect the blessings of God. It's not going to happen. You might as well just write that down, put it, you know, take it to the bank, it's not going to happen. If you're not walking with God, walking in obedience to Him, the blessings of God will not be there. Now you may walk under the covering of some of the laws of God that can't be changed, whether you're saved or unsaved. Okay? For instance, you know, the reason people like Ted Turner, Bill Gates are so blessed is not because they're such great people, but because they have a heart to be benevolent. And so they walk in the blessing, saying that if you'll give, it will be given back to you. Good measure, shaking down, pressed together, running over. And that's more than just finances. That's everything. That's the reason they have what they have. However, there's going to come a day when they're going to be put 6 feet under and all that wealth is not going to keep them from where they're headed. Pro or con. Positive or negative. Amen? Hallelujah. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, verse 3, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. I want to ask you today, I'm asking myself the same question. Are there some places in your life where you're hiding from Him? You can't really hide from Him, but you're standing back and you're not really surrendered and you are hiding from Him. We're hoping you can hide from Him. And we need to be submitted completely and we need to know that He's not out to harm us, to take advantage of us, but to bless us, to cause us to grow, to cause us to be blessed. Why? so we can just go around saying, I'm blessed? No. So we can go out and bless others. So we can go out and bless the nations, minister to the nations. For us, the nations are right here in this community and in this city and in this state. That doesn't mean God can't go beyond these walls and this area. That means that's where our first responsibility is. And starts right here in this house, amen, in our lives. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. You know, still today, there's Christians who don't really understand who and what it's all about. They've heard so much nonsense, and they've heard so much controversy about things that they're just not sure. They haven't had good teaching. I want to remind you that in these five verses is our total salvation, and this is pre-cross. One of the things Stan said in those CDs, especially that first one on that first Sunday, which was Resurrection Sunday and Easter Sunday, is the fact that if this is where it had ended, we would have still had everything that God wanted us to have. Amen? Can we come to that realization? Can you say amen to that? If you can't, then get with God and allow Him to minister to your heart, because it's the truth. Everything is right here in these verses. We didn't esteem Him. We didn't understand totally what He did. We're learning, amen? But we still don't totally understand in its fullness what He did and what we received because of His obedience. Surely He has borne our griefs. He has borne our griefs. What's your grief today? And carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. God turned His back on Him, but God had to turn His back on Him because He carried the sin that you and I deserve to be punished for, and He took it so that we're no longer those people. If we belong to the Lord, if we've given our lives to the Lord, we're free. Not only free, but free indeed. That means forever. And then God, you know, tells us, don't go back to those weak and beggarly things. Don't go back to the vomit that you were in, the dirt and the muck and the mire that you were in. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith you and I have been set free, is what He tells us. Amen? Now verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. Everything that you and I did, that you and I deserve to be punished for, that's what He took those wounds for. The spear in His side, the nails in His hands. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was beat up for you and I, for our iniquities. Transgressions and iniquities. That sounds like it's all covered right there, doesn't it? And the chastisement of our peace. Your peace was bought when He suffered what He suffered just before He went to the cross. And the final thing is, by His stripes we are healed. We are healed. Hallelujah. Verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Those little foxes that try to come in and spoil the vine. It's not that we're guilty of big things, it's we're guilty of little things, that we don't trust God for, that we don't really believe that He considers us and cares about us that much to take care of those little things. And once again, it's little foxes that spoil the vine. Those little things that we just kind of overlook or we just don't put enough value on. Verse 5, Hebrews chapter 12, And you have forgotten... the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. See, God's still calling you and I sons. Listen to me. I can't stress this enough either. You know, as a father, I chasten my children. What does that mean? I taught them the right way. I disciplined them. And when they crossed the line, there was a point where I said, okay, this deserves punishment. Amen? But unlike me, as a human father, God's rod is a little different. That doesn't mean you shouldn't use the rod. That's what God gave it to us for. Meaning, whatever means to discipline your children in love. Not in abuse, but in love. And so I disciplined my children. And my children listened. It was good for them. It was good for me. It caused a testimony. They didn't know that, nor did they probably even care at that moment. But when they were growing up, it brought a testimony. Good reports came from other people. Amen? But the point is, I did what I did because I love them. And I wanted them to be the kind of people they needed to be in this world. Amen? And that's what fatherhood and motherhood is all about. It's training, teaching a child in the way that they should go so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. They won't forget what they've been taught, but they'll continue on. Now, they may not do everything just the way you think it ought to be done, but the point is, you can see by the actions what's really in their heart and the effect that what you did in love to them and for them, and it was for them, it wasn't just to them, you can see the outcome of it because you see the way that they're dealing with their own children. Amen? That's the sons. And the thing is, when God disciplines us, He doesn't, like so many of us, get angry and say, well, you ornery critter, what'd you do that for? How come you're doing those kind of things? Those aren't what I taught you. He doesn't do it like that. He comes and says, there's a better way. Let's walk this way. Let's go this way. Consider this. He doesn't leave you feeling beat up and like you're a moron or like you're worthless. He leaves you feeling and sitting in and operating in, basking in His love that He has for you and I. Because He doesn't point a finger and tell us what kind of a worm we were, what kind of a bum because we disobeyed Him. He says, you know what, that's not good for you. This is good for you. Let's do this. See, that the sin that was necessary for us to die was dealt with on the cross. Was dealt with on the cross. Bottom line. Case closed, end of the story. Well, not really, but that part of the story is done. Because now we're redeemed. We're free in Jesus' name. Our sin has been removed from us. As far as the east is from the west, it's buried in the deepest sea, and God says, I have no record of it. There have been many shows that have come out in recent years talking about the Laurentine Abyssal, which is supposed to be one of the deepest parts in any ocean in our world. The pressures down there are so great that there are most, if not all, vehicles can't make it down there. Now, they may have some now, I don't know. I'm not a scientist, and I don't keep up on that, but I find it fascinating. Laurentine Abyssal is the deepest place. Now you tell me how you're going to pull that out of there or who's going to pull that out of there so God will have a memory or so you can, you know, it's gone. It's gone. And you can't, no matter how much you try, retrieve it. And no matter how much you're accused, God doesn't see it. If you're walking with Him, if you're His child, it's done forever. Amen? Listen to what He continues to say in verse 5. He says, my son, not talking about mankind, my children, just the same thing. It's not just talking about men. It's talking about mankind. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. When God comes after, it's not to make us feel bad, but it's to show us that we're still His son. We're still His daughter. He still loves us. He's still got us in the palm of His hand. His name is still written on our foreheads and our name is still written in the palm of His hand. We're His. And nothing shall separate us from His love. Nothing will be able to pull us out of His hand. Amen? Nothing. And He scourges every son whom He receives. Now that sounds a little violent. But it doesn't mean physically. Now He may pull His blessings for a few minutes to get your attention. But that doesn't mean the game's over. Once again, this is not like normal baseball where you got 9 innings and the game's over. We're playing with His bat and ball, and the book says we play till we win. Amen? Amen. I appreciate those amens. Almost said omies, but they weren't omies, they were amens. Thank you. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what sons is there whom the Father does not chasten? Can I tell you that after my experiences, 12 years in the prison system of this state, there are men and women in the prisons who have not been chastened, which they've never known love. And you know, part of the process of love is being able to direct your children in the right way. Now, if you're like me, you wonder what you did to get me beloved so much, meaning I'm constantly under chastening because I got issues. Amen. You got issues too. Hallelujah. But because he still deals with it and he strives with us, means we haven't gone too far. We have not gone too far that we're out of his reach, or that he said, that's it. I've had enough. You just go do your thing. I'm done with you. He promised he would never, say never, leave us nor forsake us. Never. That's the operative word. Never leave us nor forsake us. Verse 8. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. It means you're still outside the kingdom of God. You're illegitimate. Meaning, you don't have the covering of the blood of Jesus. You've not received the grace and mercy of God. That doesn't mean you can just go on doing what you want to do. It means that you strive with all your heart to obey Him. And let me tell you something. Every one of us in this room has missed it. But if you've got a heart that's after God, then the first thing that happens when you miss it, you go to Him and you say, Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And you make the decision once again, I'm going to serve You no matter what. And then He steps on the scene by the Holy Spirit and enforces that decision. He's the co-laborer with you who comes on the scene and helps you through by the decision that you make. But you have to make the decision. You and I have to make the decision. Verse 9. And furthermore, we had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Oh. How many of us know people that pay their human fathers respect but don't have much respect for God? A lot. Amen. That's a correct statement, Bob. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? The Father of spirits and live? Be in subjection? Oh, we don't like that word. We don't like that word. That almost sounds like bondage or slavery. Thank you very much. I am a slave to God. I made that decision. I made my decision to be His slave. I wasn't forced. I wasn't coerced. I wasn't threatened. Well, in a roundabout way. I mean, heaven, hell, okay. You know, if I got any brain in my head, I know which one's the better for me. Amen. Or which one I want to be, where I want to be and where I don't want to be. Amen. I appreciate that smile, Beverly. To the Father of spirits and live. For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them. But He, for our profit. Now what I want you to see here is, if you look at this scripture right here that we're reading, He does what He does for our profit. And in so doing, it profits the kingdom of God. That's not for selfish reasons. It's for our benefit and for the benefit of the kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah. That we may be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Do you know what the biggest pain for me when God chastens me is? Is that I've hurt Him. I've hurt Him. I've disobeyed Him. And God doesn't hate what I do wrong because it hurts me or because it hurts Him. It hurts me. And He loves me. Jesus came and gave Himself in obedience to the Father for me. Amen? God created us for Him. Created mankind for Him. Hallelujah. And that's where the pain comes into my life. Yes, a spanking doesn't feel good, but in the end, when you grow up and you become a decent person, a decent citizen, that makes it all worth it. Because then people have respect for you. You didn't demand it. You can't demand respect. Respect is earned. And I don't care who you are, where you come from, what your background is, it's earned. And I'll just tell you this. If we love and respect God, we're going to love and respect those around us. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen.
But afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit. Now that sounds pretty good. I think I want to try some of that. I think I want to be involved with that. Amen? Of righteousness, right standing with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. To those who have been trained by it. Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. How do you do that? You get before the Lord. You call on the Holy Spirit to continue to train you and guide you and teach you, guide you into truth, to illuminate your understanding, to cause you to see and know more and to get closer to God by your fellowship with His Word and with Him, with Jesus, who is the living Word. Amen, according to John 1:1. And make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. If something's out of place in your life today, if there's something that you just can't seem to get a hold of, you don't understand, it's bothering you, it's causing, you know, discouragement in you, or it's causing you not to walk in the victory you once walked in, then go back to the Word. Go to Jesus. Consider in Isaiah 53 what He did for you and for me. He did it once for all, the Bible says. He's no respecter of persons. We're every one of us in this house today here because God wanted us here. He has a plan and a purpose for us being here. Amen? That means for you and for you and for you. Amen? He's got a plan and purpose for you. And His thoughts for you, according to Jeremiah 29:11, are for good and not for evil. His thoughts for you to prosper you and not to harm you. And His thoughts for you to give you a hope and a future. Amen? Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Then He tells us, here's another way you go after. Pursue peace with all people. Amen? With all people. It didn't say if they were godly or ungodly. It said pursue peace with them. And He tells us what to do if they won't receive our peace. Walk out, dust our feet off, and walk away. Leave them in the hands of God. Not in our hands. Amen? Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness, what does that mean? Holiness means you have a heart and a mind that's fixed on Him, controlled by the Spirit of God. Amen? That's holiness. You're striving for that prize. You've made your determination you're going to run that whole race. Amen? Because without it, you're not going to see the Lord. He said it, I didn't. You got an issue, you take it up with Him. Then here's the key. Looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. Bitterness will destroy you, it'll destroy me, and it'll destroy those around us. If you don't let that go. Never once in our lives have we ever heard God say, I don't love you anymore. If you've got problems in your life, you feel far from God, once again, guess who moved? It's not God who turned on you, it's you who turned on Him for whatever reason. There is something in your life that you've struggled with and that you just can't understand why you don't get the victory, consider your ways. Go back to the Holy Spirit and sit there until you get an answer. Amen? Sit there till you get an answer.
He says, call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. You haven't even considered. Because his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen? Hallelujah. Letting that bitterness spring up will cause not only you but others to be defiled. Many, the scripture says in verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 12. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for a morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. That sounds a lot like the rich man when he rejected Lazarus, went on with his arrogant, uppity ways because he had all that money. And then when he found himself in hell or in torment, the scripture says, he cried out. He wanted Moses to come back from the dead or for Lazarus to be able to come. He cried out and asked for Lazarus to be able to dip his fingers in water and cool his tongue because he was tormented. God said, you had your chance. He said, well, at least send Moses or somebody back to talk to my brothers. And God said to him, he said, no. He said, if they won't receive those people that I have set in place, then they won't receive one from the dead. See, there's a point where you cross that line of demarcation and the line of no return. Rejecting Jesus is the sin that takes you to death and hell. But the little foxes, the little sins, the little disobediences, and the little things that we don't fully trust Him in, those are the things that cause us to miss out on the fullness of what God has. I didn't say miss out on heaven or what God has. I said miss the fullness of what God has for us. We just got done hearing Bob preach on the judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment. And you and I as believers, if we're believers in this house, which I believe everybody here is, I hope everybody is, we're not going to see that white throne judgment where he looks at the people and says, I don't know you. Go away from me. Now, we're never going to see that as Christians.
Hallelujah.
If this morning you don't know the Lord, or there's a struggle in your life, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. We have promises from God about longevity, but none of us knows what tomorrow holds. If there's someone here who doesn't know the Lord, we're not here to embarrass you. But if you want prayer, you want agreement, or you want to know in your heart, if you want to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're God's, that He's looking out for you, if you want to change residences from this earth to the kingdom of God, then now's the time to do it. Why don't all of you just with me take a moment and pray this prayer? Father, in Jesus' name, I acknowledge my need for you. I confess that you are the Lord Jesus, born of a virgin. Died and rose again for my sins. That you are the infallible Word and Son of God. So I receive you now. Change my heart. Change my heart. And I receive you, Lord. And I thank you that now I am changed from death to life. From mortal to immortal. And now I'm a new species or being that never before existed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise and thanks for saving me. In the one wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. One of the things we always have to do is consider and look at what God did for us. The obedience that Jesus showed. Even though He, being flesh, said, if there's any other way, let's do it that way. And yet at the same breath said, nevertheless, not what I want, but what You want, Father. Obedient even to death. Amen. Praise You, Jesus. If you didn't know the Lord and you said that prayer with me, God knows your heart, and we rejoice that you came into the kingdom today. Hallelujah. There's a party going on in heaven if you gave your life to the Lord today. Amen. Heaven rejoices, and we in the earth who know the Lord, we rejoice also because you made that commitment. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, thank You. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter what we think, Lord, You're never far away, Lord. We may feel like You're far away because of our actions and our thoughts and our deeds, but all we have to do to know that You're still there is say, Father, I'm sorry. I repent. I'm not sorry I got caught, Lord. I'm sorry that I displeased You, that I hurt You. I need You, Lord. I desperately need You. How many here today would confess that you desperately need the Lord? I need Him more today than I did many years ago when I gave my life to Him. And I'm going to need Him more tomorrow than I do today. Because I can't walk this walk without Him. It's not possible for me and myself to do it. But I can do all things through Christ, the Anointed One, who strengthens me, who's my co-laborer, my co-worker in this walk. He doesn't just hand you the book and say, okay, hope you make it. When you make decisions, and the decision isn't a decision until it's a decision. Until you make it, you confess it with your mouth. Then He steps on the scene and He enforces that and makes you able to keep the commitment you've made through that decision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank You now in Jesus' name once again for all You've done. You've given us all the keys to the kingdom, Lord. You've given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. Oh, we understand that, Lord. You gave us everything, everything that pertains to life, living this life, walking in this life, pursuing this life for You and the kingdom, meaning to fulfill the calling and the destiny You placed in our life. Now, Lord, I pray that every heart here has been encouraged and will continue to be encouraged by You, that as they look to You, Lord, they'll understand how much You really are the author and the finisher, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last in their lives, and that with You, they cannot fail. With You in their lives and You in our lives, we cannot fail. Cannot. It is impossible if we give You control and we continue to desire to bless You. We cannot fail. But the book says we win. We win. Thank You for that, Lord. Now go with Your people. Bless them, Lord. Let Your mercy and Your grace continue to shine on them, to be visible in their life, Lord. In their actions, their deeds, and their thoughts. And for all this, we praise and thank You in Jesus' name. blessed.